7 in Jacksonville now. I'm speaking plainly with Bill Hay live is right now.
The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
1.7 billion were there for his birth. 220 countries tuned in for his first step.
Woohoo!
The world stood still for that stolen kiss. And as he grew, so did the technology. Broadcast live and unedited to an audience around the globe.
Cool, man.
Coming to you now, enclosed in the largest studio ever constructed, and along with the Great Wall of China, one of only two man-made structures visible from space. Now, it's...
I'm speaking plainly with Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to another edition of I'm Speaking Plenty. I'm your host, Bill Hay. Joining me in the studio for a really fast-paced show, at least initially, is Matt Schellenberg. Got a lot of things to talk about. We're getting close to the holiday season, so trying to be a kinder, gentler Bill Hay, but that's certainly not going to work out. Later on in the show, about the 8 o'clock hour, Jimmy Hill coming in, a candidate for mayor in Duval County in the upcoming election in March 2019. So he's going to be joining me here in the studio. But, you know, Matt Schellenberg, appreciate you coming in. Soon to be former. You got until what, June next year, right?
June 30th.
June 30th next year. So then you'll be former. Right now, current city council. Current sand spur in the saddle of many of the establishment folks down there in City Hall. And we like that. And, of course, welcome to our board operator, which Tom, you know quite well. Tom is... Does he look any older to you?
No, he looks great. But before we get started, do you mind if I say Happy Hanukkah to my the Jewish community? Because their Hanukkah is on Monday.
Really?
Yep. Did you know that?
Well, didn't you just do that?
I did. Thank you very much for allowing me to do that. And I always appreciate you inviting me to be on.
Tom's Jewish.
Is he?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No. I represent...
Not touching that with a 10-foot pole.
Interesting enough, I represent the largest Jewish community in Northeast Florida.
Really? Mm-hmm. All over there around San Jose Boulevard?
San Jose and District 6.
Yeah, we do a lot of tree work. The tree company does a lot of work over there. Great people.
Great people. Unbelievably kind and generous.
Yep. So, Tom, belated happy birthday to you. Kind of Friday after Thanksgiving. So, did you get like a... You know, a decorated birthday turkey or something, you know, a cake and the...
No, my mother used to say for years, I was the biggest turkey she ever had. But then she went on to actually have 7 more, so...
You have 6, or you have 7 other brothers and sisters?
Yep.
There's 7 more of you out there.
Yep.
And we just got stuck with you?
Yeah. Hey, I got stuck with myself.
Oh, all right. Well... Tom is over there pushing the buttons.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, seriously.
Are you going to say happy birthday to me?
Thanks, Matt.
Do you even have birthdays anymore?
Yes, I do. Tomorrow.
Really? Tomorrow is your birthday?
Yes.
What's your wife getting you?
She already got me some slippers, very comfortable slippers.
Oh, my God. I'm so glad to be single. Yeah. I truly am.
What, you don't want comfortable slippers?
No, I just can't imagine that I look forward to a birthday present that turns out to be comfortable slippers.
Well,
I mean, I know your wife, and she's a lovely lady, and I think it's wonderful.
It's a beautiful gift.
It is a beautiful gift.
Well, what happened was she saw the slippers I had, and they had holes in them. And she goes, I got the pre-birthday gift about a month ago.
Actually, the gift to you was actually a gift to her. She didn't have to see those ratty old slippers by the edge of the bed any longer.
That's true, and now they don't make any noise. When she knew exactly where I was.
Did they squeak before?
Yeah, my previous ones were falling apart and made noise. So
she's going to have to get you some new tennis balls for the end of your walker, too, so you don't get that sliding noise going down. Anyway, phone lines are open. Thank you, Tom. Back to seriously. Thank you and happy birthday. Thank you for all you do. 222 talk.
Thank you.
222 talk. 222-8255. Tom's sterling voice will be the first person you hear when you call in tonight. So if you've got any comments that you'd like to make relative to this show or any of the topics we bring up tonight, please do, because we're going to get into some pretty touchy subjects. The first thing is we have to honor and recognize the passing of George H.W. Bush, 94 years old, passed away peacefully. Been dealing with illnesses on and off for the last decade or so. One of our most revered presidents, probably one of the strongest presidents we've had in a long, long time, up until, of course, Donald Trump, who is just off the chart with respect to bringing pride and all back to America. But he's stepping aside right now, planning a national day of remembrance and a funeral and the whole routine for the Bush family. And I think that's absolutely fantastic. We have another living president, Jimmy Carter. And he's I guess he's probably the oldest.
No, but George Bush was the oldest.
Right. And now Jimmy Carter.
How old is Jimmy?
Oh, I think he's like 96 or 97. He's still working, too. You should see the house he lives in Plains, Georgia. It's like a little pillbox house like we'd have over in Riverside. There's no lie. There's a picture of him standing out in front of the house that he lives in Plains, Georgia. Of course, he's got full-time Secret Service protection.
Yes.
But yeah, it's a good thing that he was president when he was, because he has lifetime Secret Service protection. Now it goes into 90. He's 94 also? Okay, I got that under control. So okay, he's 94.
I was going to look, yeah. Okay, so both of them were 94. I guess George had by a little bit, a couple of months or so.
You know, in the sidebar note, I really do want to tribute to
unbelievable
to Bush,
man.
And a great, I
unbelievable
had an,
what
had an opportunity
he did
to meet him in 1989.
Okay.
Fantastic, man. I think probably one of the most well-versed political figures because of his time with the CIA. I think he kind of knew the ins and outs really well. But I had an opportunity to meet him in 1989. He was a fantastic guy. It was one of those meet and greet opportunities where you shake a hand and get a picture and go on. And I thought that was he took a time to talk to each person that came through the receiving line. It was absolutely wonderful.
He's going to be recognized now after he had a tough presidency, and quite frankly, he was extraordinary. His life, and I was listening because I was working today and in the car a lot this morning, and the people would call in and give this anecdotal stories about him and his relationships. And one of the things that he does, and I do a little bit, not very much, but he write notes and thanking people,
right.
And just extraordinary. Call people up just to say, hey, how your family, whatever. And that's how he did diplomacy.
Approachable.
Yeah, very approachable.
So we've lost another one, and I'm sure that will be a state funeral that will be carried live on television. What's the earliest presidential funeral that you remember?
Wow, Kennedy.
Yeah, me too.
Because it was
I was
shocking.
Just a little kid, but I do remember that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do too.
Black and white TV took over everything. Walter Cronkite on the TV telling everybody about the caisson and for a brief period of time, the United States, all of us came together and just kind of like 9/11,
mm-hmm.
You know, for a brief period of time, we all came together. And then
I think almost all the presidents that have passed away during my lifetime, I think that there was extraordinary everybody coming together at that point in time.
Except Nixon.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember. I remember the occasion. I don't remember the presidents not showing up.
Well, I know they showed up, but they just really didn't make a big deal out of it. And I remember where I was the day he resigned. I was listening to it on the car radio that would ultimately, a couple of years later, become my high school car. 1964 Dodge push-button transmission. My family and I were...
Oh, my gosh. My dad had one. I had a Dodge Dart with the column.
Yeah.
On the column. Oh, my Lord.
We were driving back from Miami, and my dad was like, shh, 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 shh. And sure enough, it came over the radio that he was resigning. So we've spent the little warm-up time there, Matt and I, going back and forth reminiscing about old things. But I did want to throw out that we need to honor and remember one of our greatest presidents. Sometimes they're judged by the fact that they haven't done anything to hurt us. But that's a good bulwark by today's standards.
But wasn't that extraordinary when he ran and before he actually, he said no new taxes, read my lips, and then he had like an 80% approval rating, and then he said, I want to raise your taxes, and his approval rating plummeted.
Yeah.
And then ended up with Bill Clinton, a third-rate governor from Arkansas.
Yeah, who is really looking the worst for wear. You're listening to I'm Speaking Plenty. I'm your host, Bill Hay. Phone lines are open, 222-TALK, 222-8255. We're going to step away for just a minute. We'll be right back. Join us on the backside, won't you?
For answers to all your insurance questions, tune in to WBOB every Tuesday from 2 to 3 p.m. for Dan Dan the Insurance Man, your go-to guy for all your insurance needs. Hi, this is Dan Tuckman, and I've been helping people like you and making sure you're covered when life happens. If you have an insurance question, I'll help you find the answer. Life, health, auto, business, you name it. We'll even talk about claims. Don't miss Dan Tuckman the Insurance Man with me, Dan Tuckman, this and every Tuesday from 2 till 3 on AM 600 and 101.1 FM, Talk Radio, WBOB.
Internal Revenue Service. When you owe a personal or business tax debt and can't pay, just hearing those three words brings feelings of fear and anxiety. I'm Jonathan David Suryash, Managing Tax Attorney at J. David Tax Law. Everyone knows that if you owe the IRS and don't pay, it's only a matter of time before tax liens, wage garnishments, or bank levies happen to you. The first step to resolution is our no-cost consultation. We take the time to go through your specific tax problem step by step. We explain exactly what your options are and how we will resolve your tax issue. J. David Tax Law is a local firm right here in Jacksonville, where only an experienced tax attorney will represent you. Our fee payment plans are affordable for everyone. If you have tax problems, call us now for a no-cost consultation at 904-507-4777. That's 904-507-4777, or find us on the web at jdavidtaxlaw.com. That's jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
Tico Sports presents the Spanish broadcast of the Jacksonville Jaguars. All season long, don't miss any of the games of the Jaguars 2018 season on WBOB 101.1 FM and 600 AM. Listen to the broadcast of the Jacksonville Jaguars in Espanol.
This Sunday, the Jacksonville Jaguars will face the Indianapolis Colts. Tune in at 12:45 p.m.
Don't miss all the action brought to you by Tico Sports with the voices of Javier Carrero and Victor Cora.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Wednesday, December 5th from 5 to 9 p.m. It's the first Wednesday Art Walk in Hemming Park in downtown Jacksonville. Thursday, December 6th through Sunday, December 9th, the Jacksonville Symphony presents Holiday Pops at Jacoby Symphony Hall. Check online for daily showtimes. And Saturday, December 8th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., it's Toys for Tots at the Seawalk Pavilion at Jacksonville Beach.
For more information or to have your event included, visit WBOB.com.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, what Mr. Mueller is doing, destroying lives and trying to justify what he's been up to, is really, truly un-American. That's not what our criminal justice system is all about. The efforts by members of Congress to actually pass a statute to protect Mueller from being fired by the President of the United States, clear violation of the separation of powers of our Constitution. There's no question about it.
Mark Levin on Talk Radio, AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good afternoon, Jacksonville. Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. I got a little sidetracked by a comment here. We have one of our listeners that's already chiming in on Facebook, wants to know Matt's take on the renaming of it. That's something we're going to get into, so we might as well just kind of charge into it now. Ben Becker from TV 47 News somehow or another got some anonymous information that may have been leaked by another member of the media, and contacted Mayor Curry and could not get him to return his call or agree to a sit down, and finally caught him outside of another meeting and asked him about the renaming of the Jacksonville Veterans Memorial Arena. And of course, Mayor Curry said that there was nothing on his desk about it, but yet Ben has a copy of a transmission on letterhead from the mayor's chief of staff, Brian Hughes, regarding the naming rights. So I guess, Councilman Schellenberg, what's your take on that?
Let's do this. Let's talk historically why we don't have a naming rights bill. And I think it goes back to in 2002 during the Better Jacksonville plan. I think that the thought was that they weren't going to have naming rights on the Veterans Memorial Stadium. And that is basically a commitment that administration had, and it continues up until recently.
And so is there a time limit on making commitments to our veterans who are basically the backbone of our community?
No, I think that, first of all, I can understand.
Maybe Mayor Curry thinks there's a time limit on making commitments. Ooh, sorry.
No, but the question is, I think, is this. Transparency and being open is pretty good, because I not only did Ben Becker, and I haven't seen the email, but I can tell you that I've talked to many people that saw that email. And why wouldn't you admit that he at least reached out to the veterans people, the veterans group, that he reached out to like 40 or 50 of them and say, hey, we did this back in 02. Is there a way in which we might be, you might be willing in an aggregate, be willing to have a naming rights without taking the veteran's name out of there? I don't know. I mean, that's a question that should be asked, but why would you say, I've not seen it?
Right,
I mean,
exactly. He didn't say he hadn't seen it. He said, it's not on my desk.
That's right.
So if it's not on his desk, is it in a computer? Is it in a private Hillary server? She has. Maybe Hillary sold Lenny a private server.
You think?
Maybe he's got it in the basement somewhere.
That's right. So why would you say something that, on the surface, doesn't even sound. He was so specific about on the
desk. It's not on my desk. I've got nothing on my desk.
So why wouldn't he just admit, hey, we're looking at it? It's like JEA. Why wouldn't he say JEA is a valuable asset? We should know what it's worth and then determine what we should do, and we can have a conversation. Why wouldn't he say that? It's kind of open.
Well, I can tell you that in the aviation business, people from time to time, and many of them are just absolute nut jobs considered by the rest of us, they'll advertise their aircraft for sale for no reason other than to find out how many people would be willing to pay some price that they feel is at the top of the scale. Rather than just coming off the wallet and paying a certified appraiser to give them an idea of what it's worth, they in turn hang a carrot on a string out there. So why hang a carrot on a string for the value of JEA if you don't really have an idea that you're going to sell it? And if you really have an idea that you're going to sell it, my question is, why? It kicks in $117 million a year into the general operating fund. Isn't that not close to about 10%, 11% of the GEA?
Okay, let's do this. I can give you an argument that we actually would make more money if we sold JEA. But let's go back to the...
Oh, wait. Before we go back, or you promise we'll redress that. All right,
I'm just, I want to be able to, you can disagree with me, but I give you an instance where we actually cash flow to the city would be substantially better. But going back to Veterans Memorial, when you make promises, that those promises are kept, and when you decide to do something, you might go and let everybody know that we are thinking about doing this. Is there any interest on the veterans? And there's any interest in the business community to do it? And then do you say, hey, is there anybody interested in putting their naming rights out there? And if so, how much would you be willing to do it for?
The thing about it, though, why is it always about money?
It's not always about money.
Why are always the breaking of promises about money with respect to this city? Why is it always that the good old boy network is alive and well? Somebody would make money off of the sale of those naming rights.
Okay, how about this? I don't know the answer to this. I'm just speculating. The question is, whatever money comes in, why would you be able to say to the veterans, say, hey, we'll have an extra $1 million a year to give to your whatever function? But then I think out loud, we have a budget that's $1.2 billion. Do you mean there's not $1 million in there to help the veterans going forward? So how much money is there needed for the naming rights not to be able to find some money in the general fund to do things that the veterans can allocate to the veterans at this
point in
time?
Absolutely. And when you read between the smoke and mirrors and you get in deep on this email that's flying back and forth, you find that the naming right figure is very, very small. It's less than $1 million. It's $100,000, $145,000 a year or something like that.
I don't know, but I heard it was very small. But why would you do that if you can't find let's say it's
for 10 years. It's like $1.4 million or something for 10 years.
Okay, wait a second. You mean you can't find an extra $500,000 in the general fund budget to give it to veterans who have basically served this country and did fantastic willingness to stand up there and put themselves in harm's way. That's absolutely silly to me. Not very thoughtful. Now, if it was $10 million a year for the naming rights, and I'd give half of it to the veterans, that's $5 million. That's something different. But if it's $150,000 a year, really?
And the money would never make it there. You know as well as I do, the city council would never let that money go. I mean,
this goes back to promises made, promises kept.
Right.
Okay.
So when I look at the motivation behind some of the things like selling the JEA, possibly selling the naming rights, the general fund has to be a revenue zero fund at the end of the year, right? You can't have any holdover money.
Yes, we can.
How much?
Well,
it's a very small percentage.
It is a small percentage,
right.
But small percentage on $1.2 billion can add up to, you know, $3 or $4 million, maybe up to $8 million.
Well, what I'm thinking is that everybody's got to have a wow moment. You know, when you're running for elected office, you either have a wow moment that you produce or you have a wow moment that's produced against you. You know, some might say that the tape of Donald Trump talking to the gentleman on the bus for Entertainment Tonight, even though it happened 8 years before he ever even decided to run for president, could have been, had it been a much weaker candidate, could have been a wow moment for his opponents.
Right.
So these candidates, especially the incumbent, Lenny Curry, need to have a wow moment. When Lenny Curry ran the first time, his wow statement, his wow moment was, I'm going to fix the PFPF. Now, you know as well as I do that he didn't fix the PFPF. The PFPF is not, and that's the Police and Fire Pension
right.
Fund debacle for those of you that may be listening to me for the first time. You know, he didn't fix it at all. He kicked the can down the road. There are so many phrases from my childhood that can be used with this administration. One is kick the can. The other is build a bear. He's currently in the build a bear mode with respect to the city council and build a bear mode with respect to the JEA board of directors. And we're going to talk about Aaron Zahn. A man with absolutely no experience whatsoever who has now taken over the chairman position of our largest taxing authority and basically just walked in and said, hey, I want the job, and is malleable to the administration enough that he was given the job with no – I mean, you know his – what do you know about his credentials?
Very little. In fact, one of the things that bothered me on this issue was that – first of all, they hired a search firm, and the search firm came down with nine people. But the woman who was running it, she was very nice. I only met her on the periphery. And understand, I'm the council liaison on the JEA, and I didn't get to participate as taxpayers that own 100% of the JEA. I can't actually get in the conversation to meet the candidates. I only read the resume. I attended all the meetings in which the search committee was doing it. I didn't even get to interview the candidates. So I'm kind of frustrated, and as a citizen as well as an elected official, I just found it kind of bizarre, even though by charter I have no rights to be involved in the conversation.
Does the process, and we need to get back to the arena, but does the process in this selection for the board by an independent taxing authority, does that process need to change?
I think so. I think that if you're the council liaison, you get to sit at the table and you get to participate. Just like any committee that we have on city council, there's seven of us that get to have questions. They get asked questions and the seven can vote if you're on the committee. But you can show up to any committee and the chair will recognize you and you can ask as many questions as you want as long as it's pertinent to the bill. But you just don't get the vote until it comes to council. And that doesn't happen at JEA. I sit at the table now. I used to be out in the audience, and I get 3 minutes before the meeting, and I'd observe how they interact with each other and how do they make decisions. And all I'm saying is that there's got to be a better way for more interactivity between the owners of the thing and the board members.
You're listening to I'm Speaking Plainly. Matt Schellenberg joining me in the studio. Jimmy Hill, candidate for mayor, coming up in just a little while. Stay tuned for that. Phone lines are open, 222-TALK. 202-222-8255. We're going to step away for just a minute. We'll be right back. Join us, won't you?
Talk Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Ron DeRockstra. President Trump setting aside differences in politics and temperament to honor George H.W. Bush, the former president and iconic American, a day after his death. Mr. Bush died Friday at age 94. Mr. Trump declaring Wednesday a national day of mourning and plans to attend the Washington funeral service for the 41st president. French President Macron says he pressed Saudi Prince Mohammed Al Bin Salman to allow international involvement in the investigation into the killing of a journalist, Jamal Khashoggi. Macron confronting the Crown Prince at a Group of 20 summit in Argentina. Meanwhile, Macron plans an emergency meeting back home Sunday in the wake of a second weekend of violent protests in Paris over fuel taxes and other national issues, and protests spilling over into Holland, where Dutch police confronted protesters today. This is SRN News.
Hi, this is Pastor Angel, asking you to invite your friends who speak Spanish to tune in to our Sunday Spanish programming here on WBOB. Sundays at 5 p.m., The Season with Jesus, right after the Spanish broadcasting of the Jaguars game. Every Sunday, there will be a different topic presented by our team of local Spanish-speaking pastors teaching God's Word to members of the Spanish-speaking community. So don't miss A Season with Jesus, right here on AM 600 and FM 101.1 WBOB.
Z, the founder of the original Tunis restaurant, and Robert Rukab, the owner of St. John Seafood Restaurant, have teamed up. The result is a new national chain called Tip Top Chicken and Shrimp. Tip Top Chicken and Shrimp features the time-tested recipes of seafood and chicken and more. Two Tip Top Chicken and Shrimp locations are now open in Jacksonville, 847 Dunn Avenue, just west of I-95, and now also at 101 Monument Road, just off Atlantic Boulevard. Tip Top Chicken and Shrimp, the best you've ever tasted. 847 Dunn Avenue and 101 Monument Road.
Transmission problems? Call Action Transmission Specialists on Merrill Road, where you get the work done right the first time by the experts. I'm Robin Sidbury, the owner. Our techs can service all makes and models, and we provide a nationwide warranty so you have the peace of mind knowing we solve your transmission troubles fairly and honestly and guaranteed nationwide. Call us at Action Transmission Specialist on Merrill Road, where quality counts. Get traction. Call Action at 744-0755.
My name is James, and I'm in the Life Builders program at City Rescue Mission. I grew up in foster care system, and I realized I had a depression even as a kid. I thought once I was adopted, my depression would go away, but even after I was adopted, at 16, I was still struggling with depression. I stopped going to church, and my life started falling apart. I found myself homeless and needing help. I tried other shelters, but they didn't feel right for me. When I got to City Rescue Mission, I felt like it was where God wanted me to be. Since I've been in the program, I've read the Bible more than I have in my entire life. I've grown closer to God, and He has shown me a lot. I have a better perspective on life now, and I hope for a future. I've learned you can make your own family, and I feel like I have found a family here at CRM.
I'm Penny Keevitt, Executive Director for the City Rescue Mission. Would you consider helping us make a difference as we provide hope, healing, and change to those who need it most? Visit us at crmjax.org. That's crmjax.org to learn more, or to make a donation to help transform the lives of the hungry, homeless, and addicted in Northeast Florida.
The latest traffic and weather on WBOB, your 2018 election authority.
It's coming up on 6:34. Good evening. I'm Tom Murphy. San Jose Boulevard, north and southbound. The usual congestion approaching Clare Lane, 295, Sunbeam, Bay Meadows, and University Boulevard. Scattered showers tonight through Monday night. Overnight down to 65. Tomorrow, the high will be 82. Actually, tomorrow, the high will be about 78. Monday's high is 75. 67 in Jacksonville. You're at Talk Radio WBOB.
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey,
hey, hey. That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville, and welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. Matt Schellenberg joining me in the studio. We got somebody on line one, and I got no idea who it is, Tom. So it's Marty. All right, well, let's bring up Marty and talk to Marty. Marty, good evening. Hello, Marty.
Listen, it's about time. Who told you not to be there last Saturday?
Who told me not to be where? You mean Thanksgiving weekend?
Yeah, and first of all, I want to try and speak the language. So we weren't able to listen to you last Saturday.
Okay, okay, buddy.
Although
okay.
I don't see that in my calendar. Listen, I got a few interesting or serious things to talk about. First of all, I had a pleasure of meeting in person Matt Schellenberg last night.
You're one of the few that actually says it's a pleasure, but go ahead.
Thank you very much, Marty. I met him last night. He's a fine young man.
I tell people who want to talk for me that they should, you know, put strings on my head and do me like a mannequin, otherwise let me talk. So I had a pleasure meeting him. And also you're going to have somebody on I might have been responsible for, but you're going to have Jimmy Hill on the next hour?
He is here in the green room waiting and ready to go.
He's a man I told you about, and I met him at the Prime Osborne at the DeSantis rally. And I tell you what, I talked to him. He has a lot of, he's very classy, and he sounded like he knows the ins and outs of Jacksonville. Unfortunately, I can't vote for him because I'm in St. Augustine, but I am going to be telling my friends who live in Jacksonville that he sounds like he's the one. I mean, he's very sharp, knows what's going on, and I sensed in him sincerity. So in the event that I might have to do something later on, but anyway, he sounds like a good man. And I wanted to talk. I think the last time I spoke to you was when we went downtown for Knights of Lights.
Right, exactly.
And I want to talk about the difference between special interests and pressure groups. And when we were down there, lovely time, I call it St. Augustine's Mardi Gras. There were a bunch of creatures, a bunch of sewer scum that were protesting around, and it served nobody's purpose. When we say special interest, it was to nobody's interest that these people were trying to disrupt a beautiful event that we've been going to for about the last 10 years or whatever. And now as far as pressure groups, they were a pressure group. It's a bunch of cockroaches in your house. They're like, they annoy you until you either step on them or you get a good exterminator. And I wish that that would happen to these people, because there's thousands of people downtown, and these people have unbelievable imaginary grievances, and they're just trying to mess everything up for everybody.
So Marty, let me jump in and do a one-on-one back and forth with you. The last issue that came up for you guys that was controversial was the statues, and then after the statues was the homeless and the vagrants downtown. And now we're having several lawsuits filed in your county relative to protesters being cordoned off. What's happening to the beautiful St. Augustine that used to be?
Well, okay, without mentioning names, because I'm sure you don't like that, but there's a troublemaker who comes from Gainesville, and I think he's just an anachronism or whatever. He thinks that this is the 60s. And there is a situation here. There is no situation. And he got a bunch of chumps and suckers and people who are carrying signs about, did you know that St. Augustine is the most racist city in the country, according to these people?
Right.
I've been living here for 25 years, and I'm sorry, you're not talking about my city. I come from New York. And I'm down here. I'm like basically putting a square peg in a round hole. But this is not the most. I don't know what city is today, and not in this country, as far as the most racist. So they made some ridiculous allegations. And as far as I know, these people, they really don't do anything. The Reverend, so-called, who's responsible for all of this, he has a hatred of homeless people. I used to help homeless downtown fixing bicycles until he shut off parking on a street called Washington Street, and now it's practically impossible to park anywhere close to the homeless shelter. So he has a sinister plan or whatever, and he gets a bunch of gullible people to, to do his bidding. The police, they separated, they escorted these people, and these people are costing St. Augustine a lot of money. They're eating up a lot of money. And as far as the lawsuits, the homeless is a non-issue, because a lot of these people, when you look at them, they are pathetic. They smell of urine. These are not anybody that's trying to get over. And they come here because this is where the tourists are, okay?
Okay.
I seriously I don't think that Fort White or White Springs has a homeless problem they have here, because this is where people come from all over the world. So
right.
As Willie Sutton said, they come here, this is where the money is.
All right, Marty.
I don't feel threatened by them, and it's just, it's not an issue.
All right, Marty, I appreciate your comments tonight. As always, thank you for being such a long-time listener to the show, and always an intelligent conversation when you get on. Have a great great rest of the weekend, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
Always a pleasure.
See you, buddy. What a great guy. He's been with me on the show since the beginning. I mean, since early Saturday mornings he's been around. So just a wonderful guy. Obviously, you met him.
Right. He walked up to me and he
big
said,
man.
I know,
big man.
Gosh. I don't know what he was doing in New York, but I don't want to get in an alley with him. I want him on my team.
He was a police officer that worked the projects, you know, housing police authority. You know, New York has transit police and parking police and regular police and housing police, port authority police, every kind of police officer you can think of. We got kind of sidetracked a few minutes ago, and one of my listeners said, back, and this is a text, back Schellenberg into the wall and find out what he truly thinks, because he was on the side of selling JEA. What do you think about the idea of changing the naming rights, you personally?
Well, I don't think it's the right thing to do until you actually go out to the people and say, hey, you voted on this on 2002. Do you want to change, and circumstances change? Do you want to change the naming rights? If they don't, then you don't do it. You have to engage the people that you promised something and get them to talk and get their opinion, even though it's 16 years later. There's a lot of veterans. I think a quarter of the people either work for the military or engaged in some activity that have to do with the Navy bases that we have here.
Okay. Well,
and by the way, I my issue on JEA is, if it makes sense, we sell it. If it doesn't make sense, I'm not selling it.
Well, what do you think about the straw poll put up by one of your colleagues, John Crescenbin?
Well, first of all, this is my belief on this. He went out and he said, do you want to sell JEA? And this is impacts the fact that I didn't get to have a conversation on picking the guy running, or it could be the president of the council. I don't care. As long as we have a voice over JEA, that's fine. But citizens spoke, and the citizens own JEA, and they spoke and said, you cannot.
Highest percentage ever returned in a straw poll.
Okay. And so now we have a bill that's going to be voted on to basically say, if you're going to sell it, it has to go back to the citizens. And my position is this: if this administration or the next administration or any administration can't have a coherent policy on why it would be of interest to sell JEA, and that administration can't get 50% plus one vote, then they can't sell it. That's how strongly I believe in it. And because if it's a good idea, it's a good idea. People intuitively understand if it's a good idea. If they think somebody's getting on the take, they're not going to do it. And the citizens are much smarter than most people give them credit for.
Why do we have in this current administration constantly dealing with leaks and things that we're finding out behind the scenes relative to, like, the sale of the JEA? You know, that proposed sale, that whole idea that Tom Petway stormed out of a meeting and leaving said, we need to think about selling this place, and then all of a sudden come to find out we were thinking about selling the place. What's wrong with the citizens of Jacksonville knowing what their elected officials are trying to do?
Well, unfortunately, JEA, once we approve the board, it's the board, up until recently, it was the board's approval to sell or not sell JEA. And I think the citizens spoke loudly on the referendum. And now we have a bill that says if you sell more than 10% of JEA, you have to go out to the citizens to get the votes to do it.
Now, we have a straw poll, but has someone produced a bill and introduced
it? John Crescenbunny actually introduced it about a year ago, and maybe eight months ago. When he did the straw ballot, he also introduced this bill. And since they spoke, it passed the committees, and now it's part of the legislature going forward.
Excellent. All right. Well, you're listening to I'm Speaking Plainly. Phone lines are open, 222-TALK, 222-8255. Matt Schellenberg joining me in the studio as we speak. Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to have Jimmy Hill, candidate for mayor here in Duval County, joining us in the studio. A little bit more time left with Matt, and then we'll kick him to the curb. We're following up some reports of some elder abuse going on right now, and we'll get back to you with any information we have on that. It's elder abuse. It's going on up in Atlanta right now. Nick Saban is the recipient. We'll see you on the backside. Join us, won't you?
Whether it's lunch or dinner, on the go, or if you want to dine in, Hangar Bay Cafe at 2294 Mayport Road is for you. Hangar Bay is open 7 days a week for lunch or dinner and is famous for their Japanese ramen. A regular ramen bowl with two pieces of chicken and drink starts at just $13. In the mood for something traditional? Hangar Bay has fried chicken better than your mama's. Hangar Bay made the list of the best fried chicken in all 50 states based on Yelp data. Seafood like shrimp and fish with grits, and sandwiches that are unique, like bourbon teriyaki pulled pork, spicy sausage, or spicy Cajun po' boy. Hangar Bay is a veteran-owned restaurant with a Navy theme and variety. Hangar Bay Cafe, 2294 Mayport Road. Dine in, take out, and ask about catering. Online at hangarbaycafe.com.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage four. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE.
Make excellent happen. Only at New Balance can you get athletic footwear, apparel, and accessories with highly trained New Balance fit specialists to make sure everything is exactly right. If you're having a hard time finding comfortable shoes or have a hard-to-fit size, your answer is at the New Balance store. New Balance in Orange Park and Beach Boulevard features full-service sit-and-fit locations. Both New Balance stores have a full stock of running, walking, baseball, cross-training, and tennis shoes. You'll find sizes 5 to 18, widths AA, B, D, EE, 4E, 6E, plus orthotic arch supports. New Balance's state-of-the-art computerized foot scanner gets the right fit every time. Make excellent happen at either New Balance store. 10,095 Beach Boulevard, open Monday through Saturday, 10 till 6. Call 620-0483 or at 1871 Wells Road across from the Orange Park Mall. Open Monday through Saturday, 10 till 8. Call 592-7892. New Balance, athletic footwear and apparel for all ages.
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. Talking with Matt Schellenberg tonight. A couple of different topics we're on. First being the almost proposed sale of JEA. Now the new board chairman taking over, and then the naming rights with respect to the Jacksonville Veterans Memorial Arena. But during the break, Matt and I bounced things around back and forth, and no disrespect intended to Councilman Schellenberg. We're just we're personal friends also. So when I say Matt, I mean Councilman Schellenberg. And of course, your wife has now forced me to call her doctor, so I'll be doing that from now on, Dr. Schellenberg.
Doctor of a county.
Yeah, so that being said.
She doesn't, but you go ahead and say that.
Oh, no, she did on the air one night. Doctor, yeah. So
she probably said, I'm a doctor also of a county.
Okay.
I'm not sure. She would never have said, call me doctor.
We'll have to roll the tape.
Yeah,
back.
Roll the tape.
We'll have to roll the tape.
I'm
anyway,
defending her.
The going in, as well you should, going into the break, we talked off air about the And that's my phone. Sorry, guys. I need to mute that. Lay out your idea of netting $4 billion. If we net $4 billion, the sale price of JEA, hypothetically, would have to be around $7 billion to clear a lot of the debts we have. $2.2 billion for the septic tanks that were never installed by the Better Jacksonville plan, so paying that off. There's another $1 billion of unfunded liability that exists currently with the PFPF. So keep going with what you were saying.
Well, this is netting the number. I'm
netting $4 billion.
Netting $4 billion. So the pension thing is not going to actually take effect until 2030, until the Better Jacksonville plan is paid off. But if you net $4 billion, think of it this way: I'll take $1 billion, which is the debt we owe still on the Better Jacksonville plan, and pay it off. So you move the Better Jacksonville half cent not to 2030, not keep it at 2030, you move it forward to now, so it doesn't get out of whack and it becomes much more sustainable and actually in better stead.
But that was a charter amendment that was put forth for taxing plan.
It is, but as soon as the Better Jacksonville plan is paid off, that's when the pension kicks off. So if you pay it off early, the pension thing
is it written
forward.
That way?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Then you take the other $1 billion, and the city owes about $1 billion in debt. You pay that off. Two things happen. Number one, whoever buys it will have to pay ad valorem taxes, which on the low side would be $50 million. I've heard it as high as 70, but let's say 50. And then you wouldn't have to pay $100 million a year to pay off the bonds that you obviously owe money on. So that if you add them both together, you get $150 million. And right now they only contribute as a contribution about $118 million. And then you still have another $2 billion. And assume that you make 5% on that money. That's another $100 million. So when you add it all up, pay off the debt, do this and do that, you're up $250 million. Now, you might say your electricity might go up, but think of it this way. Florida Power and Light have five options, and they can use whatever option they want to bill. And their actual electric rates are cheaper than JEA, because look at JEA. They're a one-horse pony. And yes, you can say that natural gas is going to be cheap for a long time, but you know what? Diversity and power usage generation is very important. That's why Florida Power and Light can use nuclear more or natural gas, whatever the cheapest is at that particular time, they put in the rates. JEA is a one-horse pony.
I got to stop you.
Yeah, go ahead.
I got to stop you. I'm sorry.
Ahead.
It's one-trick pony or one-horse town.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
If you're going to use the sayings, you got to get them right.
Okay. What is it again? I use one-horse pony.
It's a one-trick pony.
One-trick pony.
One-horse town.
Okay. One-trick pony.
See what I have to deal with, folks?
I know. Well, I'm not as smart as you.
All right.
Does that make you feel better? My point is this. We would be substantially better off if we netted $4 billion.
But then the politicians would just spend us into debt again.
I have always said my problem with this is trusting the politicians to do the right thing. I would say when we did this, we would go to the people and say, we're doing the $1 billion, we're doing the $1 billion, and this $2 billion could never be touched. It's an investment, and we can spend the money that it earns, period. You cannot ever touch it. Now, unfortunately, let's go back to the veterans thing. Apparently, 16 years ago, we made a promise that we weren't going to have naming rights, and here we are 16 years later and say, yeah, we're going to do naming rights. You got to say, no, this is the deal. The citizens voted on it. And in 16 years, if they want to change their mind, then they have to go back out to the citizenship and say, this is the deal.
Well, you know, it's something I'm going to talk about with candidate Hill when he finally gets on the air. And that is the hierarchy in this town. And I had a very profound statement made to me a couple of weeks ago. You are chosen to be an elected official in this town. If you just are sitting in your home in Arlinghood and you decide, hey, I want to be a city councilman, I'm going to go out and run to be a city councilman. And it happened to a gentleman just recently, within the last three or four election cycles, runs a great automotive repair facility over there on Arlington Road.
I know.
Ran a great handshake campaign, grassroots everything, did really well, but he didn't make an impression on the five to seven key families that live in our city. And so because he didn't make an impression on them, even though he went around to all the Republican clubs and spoke at all the events and did everything he could to get his name out there, he didn't say Mother May I to the I think it's now about seven, when you include Shad Khan, seven active families that really run this city.
I don't believe that, because I got elected and I didn't have any of those people supporting me.
You know what?
I didn't have one of them supporting me. I knocked on the door. I had people telling me after the primary, I was in the race with one or two. I'd come back and knock on the door again. They go, "Hey, I voted for you. You got to do it again in the general."
But see, the issue really is your district, and I don't take this the wrong way because I know you're sensitive.
I represent Mandarin.
Yeah, and District 6. It doesn't mean anything.
What do you mean that?
Your district is not Riverside Avondale. It's not Queens Harbor. It's not Ponte Vedra.
Oh, I got a great district. Yeah. I'm better than them in a great respect.
I understand that, but you don't have old money over there. You don't have old money. You have old orange growers. Orange Picker Road, for example. You know, Boat Landing. What is it? Boat Landing Road?
It's a County Dock Road.
County Dock Road. So you have you have hardworking people that live there, but you don't have captains of industry. You have those folks who are living in Ortega.
Okay,
and
Jose. Wait a second. You've mentioned Arlington and the people that you're referring to, who I don't know who they are, but I don't think they live in Arlington.
Build-A-Bear started long. I understand that, but Build-A-Bear started long before this current administration. Build-A-Bear was back there lurking in the background. People were elected. And you know as well as I do, I've backed you into the corner on this particular statement before. In order to be the councilman on the JAA, you have to first answer the question, are you in favor or opposed to ever extending the runway at Craig? And if you say, I'm in favor of it, you'll never get a seat at that table.
But that's interesting. There's a column that comes on every
month.
Wait.
You're changing. No, I'm correct on that.
What I said was, I said that there's an understanding that in that area, if you run for office, there seems to be that one issue that prevents anybody from saying, yes, the dynamics of that Craig Field has changed dramatically. In fact, I said that in a news column in the paper that I have in Mandarin called the Mandarin Newsline. I said, this thing about Craig Field not extending the runway because the jets' engines are too loud is passé. The fact of the matter is commercial jetliners are quieter now than they ever have. And I have talked to many people that say extending the runway would benefit that area of town.
Absolutely.
But there's one or two people that's still on the council that don't have the backbone to say, hey, let's revisit the issue and see and understand what happened 28 years ago versus what's going on now. If you always say that what we've already dealt with 28 years ago, everybody had landlines. Okay? You have to learn how to change. You know what? Taxis 10 years ago thought that they were going to, for the next 100 years, they were going to dominate and monopolize that business. Basically, Uber came in and ride-sharing came in and changed dramatically the business. Look at Amazon.
I agree with you. And the problem we have is a classic example of, you know, Jim Tullis, God rest his soul, got a burr under his saddle because of something that was said to him personally, and he is the orchestrator of the overlay, the add-on, the codicil to the land use plan that said that it'll never be any longer. So now it has to go through a charter amendment just to be able to be changed, and that's an uphill climb that nobody wants to take on right now, and that happens so many times in our city to where people get personally offended. And they don't care about what it does to the constituency. The fact that that airport has been allowed to languish has just destroyed a big portion of that area and turned it into a poverty zone. You're listening to I'm Speaking Plenty. I'm your host, Bill Hay. We'll be right back.